Well, good morning again and welcome to Emmanuel Baptist Church. It's wonderful to be here with you. I love standing in front of you because when you sing, the words just flow over and it's beautiful. And I want to bring greetings from the International Baptist Convention. 9 of us guys went last week to the men's conference in Lenk, Switzerland, and there were over 210 of us. And we did the same thing. We sat on the front, first and second rows. And so when you have 200 men just singing to the top of their lungs behind you, it's quite a wonderful experience. So thank you for the opportunity. I want to say thank you to Moises for bringing our message last week. I watched it online. I love that we have that. He did a great job. I want to tell him thank you. I think he'll be here in the second service. And I want to say thank you to Gabriel for giving his testimony. He will be preaching in February. We're going to let him do the second service. So we've never done this. I'm going to do the first service, and he's going to do the second service. I'm going to preach the same text. So we'll see how that turns out. We don't want you to judge, you know, who's better. But just giving our interns, our residents, and apprentices opportunity to grow and to learn. I remember my first message. I was 16 years old. I worked for an entire week to handwrite on one of those big yellow pads. I wrote 6 pages of notes, and I delivered it in 6 minutes. And at the end, I said, "That's it. I'm done." So I've learned to talk a little more since then. That was a long time ago. Let's move into the dwelling place of God, and this is Ephesians 2, and I added 19 through 22 because when you look in the Bible, that's actually a paragraph section, so we've included that. But we've spent the last few weeks and months talking about our identity in Christ, and the songs this morning, it all works together beautifully to highlight our series, Life Together in Christ. How do we do life together in Christ? They're beautiful analogies, beautiful illustrations that Paul uses from the book of Ephesians. But we've learned that we were outsiders. We were strangers. But through the blood of Christ, we've been brought into the family. And Moises told us last week, remember who you were. Wow. Thank God, I'm not who I used to be, right? And then he said, remember who you are. Praise God, right? We've been brought into this beautiful, wonderful, diverse family of God in which we get to talk about this morning. We are fellow citizens, participants, members, brothers and sisters in God's beautiful family. Paul concludes this chapter. We're finishing up chapter 2. It's number 17, as you can see. We're going to be in Ephesians for a while. But he concludes this chapter with another metaphor that is different than the kingdom or a family. He describes us as a building. And no, it's not a building like the one we're sitting in, which is brick and mortar in Madrid, but he describes us as a living, breathing, holy temple. So let's look at the verses again. This is from the New Living Translation. It was read for you earlier in the ESV, so I like to give you different versions. From verse 19, it reads, "Now, so now, you Gentiles." And I think Moises asked the question, any Jews in the room? Okay, nobody. Maybe some of us have, a few Jewish genes. I have no idea. But he's addressing the Gentiles, outsiders, the foreigners, right? The unclean, the uncircumcised, the bad people, right, in the Jewish culture. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. And just stop and think about that for a minute, right? We've talked about the past, the Old Testament, is looking forward to the cross, right? And anyone who looked in faith, Hebrews talks to us about those who believed in faith are a part of the body of Christ, the church, the kingdom, right? So anyone looking forward to Christ, and then it's been 2,000 some hundred years since Christ, and anybody looking back to the cross. So we're a part of a really large family, historically speaking, universally speaking, anyone who is trusted as Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for faith is part of this beautiful building. Verse 20, together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. Boy, we could stop right there, and that would be enough. Jesus is the cornerstone, right? 21, we are carefully joined together in him. Carefully fitted together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles, we are also being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. So let's pause and thank him for this mighty house of God. Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, three in one, Trinitarian unity that invites us into union with you. We honor you. We love you. We worship you. And we come into your presence, yes, with praise and thanksgiving and lifting our voices, but also in humility, humbling ourselves and seeking your face, seeking your presence, seeking your peace, your love, your joy, your fruit to be evident in our lives as individuals, but in our body, in this church. Lord, we're different and unique. We have culture and language and experience and tradition and history that may seem so diverse, yet you make us one in Christ. And for that, we're so eternally grateful. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our cornerstone, the one upon whom you have built your church, the one in whom we look to for support, for order, for structure. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for loving us the way you do. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, you'll be happy to know because of Gabriel's testimony, I have a shorter message. So a couple of weeks ago, I had like 20 pages and like 20 cells. I think I only have three or four cells up there, and I only have about 5 pages. So it'll be a shorter message than normal, which yay for you. The first thought is the foundation. Let's begin with the text. The apostles, prophets, and the cornerstone. This is taken from verse 20. Every firm foundation needs two things: a solid base and perfect alignment. So the foundation, the first thought from verse 20, is Paul says that we are built on the apostles and prophets. Now this is a reference to the Word of God. The New Testament are the apostles, the disciples, those first followers of Jesus, and the Old Testament is what's referenced to the prophets, providing for us the unchanging truth upon which our lives are set. The church is not built on modern trends, right? Sometimes we react for, sometimes we react against, but we are not built on modern things. The body of Christ is built on the eternal revelation of God as revealed in his word and the person of Jesus Christ, his son. He is the center of the universe. He is the person who is the culmination of all things. our cornerstone. So let's talk a moment about cornerstone. In ancient architecture, think about it for a minute, the cornerstone was the most important stone. And we're going to use different images today, but when you think about a cornerstone, you have to think about angles and an engineer in ancient times having to get those perfect angles, right? Because if the cornerstone was off a little bit, the entire building would be off, right? It was so important that the stone, the cornerstone, set right to align the rest of the building. A good example of this in history is the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Sharon and I went and saw it last year. It's not pizza, it's Pisa. Sorry. But it serves as a powerful, albeit cautionary, architectural metaphor for the importance of a spiritual foundation. Historically, the tower began to tilt because it was built on a foundation of soft clay, fine sand, and shells that simply could not support the weight of the structure. So in context of Ephesians 2:20, we see the divine contrast. While the world's foundations are often shifting and unstable, the house of God, we, the church, are built upon the immovable bedrock of the apostles and the prophets. Just as the tower's lean is the result of a faulty start, a life or a church built on anything else or less than biblical truth will eventually lose its uprightness, struggling to withstand the pressures of this world. To rectify the lean, the house of God, the church, requires the perfect cornerstone of Jesus Christ himself. So in ancient architecture, the cornerstone was set first, right? We said that it determined the placement, the angle, the stability of every other stone in the building. Without a perfectly square cornerstone, the entire structure would eventually drift out of alignment, much like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. By anchoring ourselves in Christ as the primary point of reference, our building, not this one, but our church, remains structurally sound and vertically aligned with heaven, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor yourself. It works both ways, even in this metaphor. We are not meant to be a leaning monument to human effort, but a straight and sturdy temple where the foundation is secure and the cornerstone ensures we stand firmly in our world and throughout all of eternity. Third thought is we are his house. Think about that for a minute. As members of the body, the bride of Christ, we are his house. What does that mean? Saatchi prayed it. Where two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, I am there. Matthew 18:20. His house means he's the boss, right? He gets the last say. Actually, he gets the first say. He is the king. He is Lord. Jesus is the head of his church. Jesus is the head of Emmanuel Baptist Church Madrid, right? I'm just the under-shepherd under Jesus, our over-shepherd, right? I want you to hear that over and over and over again. We are the body. We make up the parts, but he is the head. He is the one we must look to for leadership. He is the one we must always submit to in humility. He is the one, as I said, with the last say, right? We always look to Jesus and ask him, Jesus, in this circumstance, what do you want? One of the most primary and intimate prayers that you and I can pray. I pray it every week for you as I'm bringing the word. And I encourage you to pray it in everything we do. So the challenge here Is Christ your cornerstone? Is your life built on Christ? Or is he just another brick in the wall? If our lives aren't aligned to him, our building will never be straight. So I wanted to put up, I've got some images just for you to see. I asked for a wall with a cornerstone, and notice that there's some rocks, bricks, stones missing. Okay? We'll come back to that in a minute as we adjust this a little bit more. Let's move to the construction, carefully joined together. And this is pulled from verse 21. We are carefully joined together in him, carefully fitted together in Christ. The Greek word here implies a functional, organic fitting. Think of a master stoneman shaping stones so perfectly that they lock together without gaps. Now, a beautiful illustration of this was the ancient temple, because as you read about it, you read that the blocks, the bricks, the stones were all chiseled off-site. And they were brought so that there would be quiet at the temple. And they didn't use mortar. They fit the stones together to fit perfectly. And that's that beautiful image that we're looking at. The first thought is, we aren't a pile of rocks, right? That's a mountain. A beautiful mountain if you go to places like Switzerland and Italy. We are a temple. A pile of rocks is just a mess. But when those rocks are joined together, they have purpose, right? Think about a wall. There's purpose there. There's diversity in the wall. And I have a picture for that in a minute. In a stone wall, you have big stones, small stones, smooth stones, rough stones. Are you a rough stone? Maybe, you know, some of us need a little extra chiseling. In the church, we have different callings. Okay, we're talking. Yesterday, we had a wonderful meeting with about 40 or 50 of us gathered here today, yesterday, talking about elder and deacon and team coordinator and ministry directors and volunteers and all that. We, as the body of Christ, have various spiritual gifts that the Lord gives us for the building up of the church. We have different cultural backgrounds. I mean, I love it. Look around at us. I'm wearing a shirt from Indonesia. We're diverse, yet we're one in Christ, right? As unusual and different and strange as we may be, and I kind of think of myself as strange sometimes, we fit together perfectly in the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:5 tells us that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. So the glue. What's the mortar? What's the glue that joins us together? It's not our hobbies. It's not our politics, thank God. But it's the fact that we are in Christ, right? Union with Christ, one in Christ. If you pull one stone out of the wall, the structure is weakened. So we are carefully joined here for a reason. And as I think through this, I think, what binds us together? And the song, "Bind Us Together, Lord, Bind Us Together," I came to my mind. It's the Holy Spirit working in and among and through us. And it's the bond of love, right? That's what we continue to talk about, is loving each other with the love illustrated from Christ, that self-sacrificial giving, that I love you more than I love myself, right? A sacrificial love for one another. And so I put up a couple of images because when I was using AI to develop these images, this one came up and I liked it because I said I wanted a wall with different colored stones and different sizes and different shapes. Because that's us, right? We have all different colors and sizes and shapes. And then this is from previously. I used this a while back, but it reminds me that you are his masterpiece, right? So don't think of yourself as just a stone, right? Think of yourself and your life as, like Gabriel was talking about, the Lord is working in his life, sometimes chiseling, which is painful, right? There are places in my heart that I need to turn over to God. And that's a painful process when I invite Jesus into the brokenness in my heart and I say, I don't want this anymore. I'm tired of carrying it. Would you take it? That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And sometimes it's a chisel. Sometimes it's a sandpaper, maybe. Sometimes he's just polishing, okay? But we fit together as his masterpiece. You have the right size for the right place by God's plan. And I want you to hear that today. So the third thought is the purpose, a dwelling place for the Spirit. And this comes from verse 22. Why all this building? Why all this foundation and cornerstone talk? Verse 22 reads, to become a dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. In the Old Testament, think about God's presence, his glory in the tabernacle when they set it up and finally they invited God, the almighty creator of the universe, this Shekinah glory, this light, this power, this fire came and rested on the tabernacle. And the same thing happened in the temple. We're the church. We're the body, the bride of Christ. We are the dwelling place of God himself, especially corporately. As we come together, right? There is something beautiful and special about our gathering. Think about holiness, right? This beautiful, amazing idea that is sometimes so hard to get our heads around. This is where God lives. And so the temple must be holy. Our bodies, our lives must be holy as individuals and as we come together. That's why we surrender. That's why we submit. That's why we always exalt Jesus and not ourselves, right? We're always humbling ourselves and seeking his presence, his face. Colossians 3, my favorite passage, talks about stripping off our old sinful nature and clothing ourselves with Christ, right? We're constantly doing that. Every day, strip off your old sinful nature, throw it away, lay it at the cross, give it to Jesus, you know, lay down your baggage. There's lots of imagery, right? Let him chisel away if we're talking about being stones today. But clothe yourself with Christ. Today, I choose Christ. I choose to put on Christ. Jesus, come into my life and work in amazing ways. Do the miracles that you did in the New Testament with me today. That's my prayer. And think about the access we have. You don't have to go to a mountain. You don't have to go to a temple or a building. You don't even have to come here. Because we are joined together, even when we're apart. We are the body, the bride of Christ. So what does this body do? I just want to spend a few minutes being very, very practical. What are we doing right now? We worship, right? We come together as one. We sing the songs. We pray the prayers. We give of ourselves our time, our talents, right? There are people among us right now who are with our children. And what are they doing with them? They're teaching them about Jesus through coloring and stories and maybe a video or however they do it. They're teaching our children about Jesus, right? They're giving of their time. What else? We give of our offering, right? We take a portion of the blessing materially that God has given to us, and we give it back. And yes, we're in tax season, and we're in budget season because yesterday we had a budget presentation, and maybe trends are changing. I don't know. Our giving is down. I'm not sure why. There could be some reasons for that. The good news is that we're working with the bank now to be able to give online BISM. That's the way I pay most of my stuff, or send money to my son or wife. Sometimes I use Apple Pay. But a better way to give, because that's what we do as the body of Christ. We partner together to work for his kingdom, giving our lives, giving our attention and our time to each other as we mentor and model. We assist each other, we teach each other, we train. All of these beautiful things that we do together, and we don't stop there. We witness, right? We go to our workplace, and we carry the light of the gospel. And we tell other people, Jesus loves you. You ever heard about Jesus? Do you want to have a relationship with him? There are 1,000 ways that you are a witness. Be a witness for his kingdom. Be an intentional witness. Let's talk about membership for a moment, because that's the issue at hand. Yesterday, it was mostly members who came for our meeting. It was called a town hall. It was 3 hours of sitting together and just talking, asking questions, working through all the documents. Next week, between the services, there'll be an announcement up here. We're going to have a business meeting. It's what we do. We are a nonprofit organization licensed and official in Spain. And so we have to do certain things legally. And that's a part of what we do. In order to do that, we have a membership. We have a membership of about 180 to 200 people. If you are not a member and you live here, why don't you join? It's a fairly easy process, maybe harder than some other churches, but you just fill out a form online or physically. You have an interview with me or another leader, and then we vote on you as a member. And then you are a voting member of this organization. And that's important. It seems mundane, right? Voting, stuff we have to do, but it's a part of my offering to God. I'm just not a participant. And I'm sorry, I might be stepping on your toes. I'm preaching, I apologize. I want you to think about church membership, even if you're only here for a short time. Because part of it is we feel the responsibility to teach you what we're doing here, what we do in small groups and Bible studies. You're going to hear a lot about that in 2026, because that's my big goal. We'll get to that later. But for now, join. Be a part of the body of Christ here, because it's important for us to do the business of the kingdom. And it doesn't stop there, right? Meeting together in small groups throughout the week. We'll call them life groups, Bible studies. You can call it anything you want. But that's our heart and our desire, because what does a church do? Yes, we worship, but we disciple. And that means bringing people into the kingdom, but it also means people in the kingdom teaching them to how to be healthy followers of Jesus Christ, right? That's mentoring, modeling, discipling, lots of different words that we use. We invest in others with our time, with a cup of coffee, WhatsApp message. How are you doing today, right? I hear things are difficult. How can I help you? How can I pray? We do that. That's what the body of Christ does together. So last image I'll show you is a puzzle piece, because I always say that we're uniquely made and kind of strange curves and stuff. But where do you fit in the body of Christ? Yes, universally, but here at Emmanuel in Madrid for the season you are here, where do you fit in? I had a man come up to me and say, I want to serve. So I pulled out our phones and I said, open up Church Center. And then down at the bottom on the left side, it's the second icon over. It says groups. We both touched groups. And it scrolls up all the groups. You can go through them. You don't join a ministry you don't want to be a part of, right? Be practical about it. God gifted you specifically with a shape, right? Your spiritual gift, your heart, what do you love? Your aptitude, what do you like? Your personality and your experiences. That's an acronym for shape, right? That comes from the spiritual gifting training. God shaped you in a puzzle piece configuration that nobody else fits in. So the holes in the wall up there might be you because you're not fitting in, right? And so enough of that. Let's conclude this with encouragement. You belong. If you've ever felt like you don't fit in, remember verse 22. You are also being made part of this dwelling. God has personally carved out a place for you in his home, in his church. So the challenge, along with that, is check your alignment. Is there an area of your life, your executive will, that is not aligned with the cornerstone? Are you fitting with Jesus? If the building feels shaky, check the cornerstone. Check your alignment with him. And then a few action steps. Build one another up. Since we are joined together, your spiritual health affects mine. And mine affects yours. So this week, reach out to a stone next to you and be an encouragement. Say something nice. Pray. I mean, if you don't know what to say, just say, "How can I pray for you?" And it might take them a moment. They might say, no, I'm okay. Go deep. Say, "No, really. How can I pray for you this week? Because I'm going to pray for you. So if you don't tell me, I'll just pray a general prayer." And that's okay. I want to encourage you to reach out to a leader in this church and tell them thank you. Okay, I encouraged you to be gentle with Moises as he preached his first sermon last week. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing for Gabriel as he preaches next month, and then Diego will preach in March. Reach out to somebody, not just them, but a leader around you, and say thank you. I mean, especially the people we're about to be blessed by, right? They work so hard. But the ushers, the ones who are helping us find a seat and welcoming us, the guys across the street, when you park over there, do you say thank you? Man, that's a cold job. Bless their hearts. So touch somebody this week. Remind them that we aren't just a club. We are a dwelling place of the Almighty Living God. Let's stand for our prayer before our hymn of response. Father, thank you for your wisdom and your plan. When we think about your wisdom and your plan, we fall to our knees and we pray. Thank you that you don't just watch us from a distance. You're not a God who created and let the world just run. You dwell, abide, live with us. Help us to be your holy temple. Help us to be aligned with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And help us to feel your spirit binding us together and joining us to fit uniquely as the pieces that you have brought here for this season, for this time. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for Emmanuel Baptist Church, Madrid. Thank you for my brothers and sisters who are here today. Bind us together in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.